Think, well, there's a lot of the same faces. The building looks pretty much the same, minus a few roof tiles. It feels very much the same, but something is different. And so I began to pray, Lord, what are you doing here? Anyone else ever asked that question? Just wondering, Lord, what on earth are you doing here? And I really felt the Lord saying to me as I began to pray, I've taken you through this season for a reason. And it's been really important for us to go through this season together as a church. And I believe we've gone through this together. That's it's enabling us for the Lord to prepare us for what he has next in store. And here's the vital work that I think he's done. God has been moving us from a place of self-reliance to full dependency on him as we step forward. And so what we're going to do, we're going to say this together. So I'm going to say, God has been moving us from a place of self-reliance to, and altogether, we're going to say, full dependence on him. We up for that? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. We're going to do this. God has been moving us from a place of self-reliance to full dependency on him. Lovely. Lovely. There's going to be some more of that. So we're just warming up. I like it. On a Sunday, as a staff team and as a team, we get here at sort of 7:30 to start preparing for the morning. Now, 7:30, that is, 7:30 is early, right? Is anyone else awake at 7:30 on a Sunday morning? Yeah, lots of parents. Kids, are you awake? Yeah, some of you awake at 7:30. It does feel early. And one of the things we do when we first come in on a Sunday is we pray. We pray, we offer the morning as worship to the Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come. We don't want to just run a social club. We want to be pressing into his presence and worshiping him. And we listen to what he's saying. And actually, we've done this a lot more over this sort of past 8-9 months as it's been a bit trickier. And you know what's happened? Little by little, we've found that our gaze has shifted from ourselves, from our problems that maybe we can see directly in front of us. Our gaze has shifted up onto Jesus. And we've found that we have grown in a greater dependency on him. And I've been praying as we went through prayer week a couple of weeks ago. One of the things I really prayed was, Lord, would you help move us from a place where we are self-reliant to fully dependent on you? Okay, so we're going to go over this again. Let's see if you can remember this from earlier. God has been moving us from a place of self-reliance to
full dependence on him.
Wonderful. You're getting better. You're getting better. This morning, as we think about some of the amazing things that God might be moving us towards as a church, I want to spend a few moments just looking at a passage in Joshua. And we pick up this passage. It's in Joshua 3, and we pick up this passage as God's people have already been on this huge journey. They were rescued from slavery, 40 years in the wilderness, led by Moses every step of the way. But Moses is now gone, Joshua is leading, and they're camped right at the edge of the Jordan River. They've traveled together, but now they need to come together again if they're going to cross to the other side. Ahead of them is this uncharted territory. It's going to take courage, boldness, and it's going to take obedience. And even before they move, God has already been at work preparing the land for them. And so it's right at this moment that we pick up this passage on the banks of the Jordan with everything about to change. We pick up this story in chapter 3. And I've asked Cody, do you want to come? Can we encourage Cody? Cody's going to read the passage for us this morning. From Joshua 3. So if you've got a Bible, maybe you want to turn to Joshua 3. It's also going to come up on the screen. But Cody, would you read for us?
Yeah. Do you want to read from there?
It's up to you, mate, if you've got that. Yeah, perfect.
This is Joshua 3, verse 2 to 7. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carry it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, Since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass it on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses.
Thank you so much, Cody. Yeah, let's encourage. Thank you, mate. Thank you. As we look to be a beacon of light in the community and a place of freedom, there are two things that we need to keep in mind that we can pull from this passage. You ready for the first one? We ready? Kids, you ready for the first one? Adults, you ready for the first one? Kids, you ready for the first one? Yeah? Come on. So God's people are doing this together. Verse 3, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. God's people go together. Can we say that all together? Ready? God's people go together. Now, kids, I'm going to ask you a slightly harder question. Does anyone know how long ago we planted out from St. Peter's to St. Leonard's? Does anyone know? Can I have any guesses? Does anyone want to guess? Do you want to shout it out? Shout out numbers. 4 years, that's it. It was about 4 years ago. Well done, Stanley. We planted out almost 4 years ago. And it was really clear when we planted out, I'd like to think that there were lots of things that needed doing. There weren't many systems that we had, not many structures. There was a lot of really obvious need. Now it may feel like the need is less obvious, maybe not. But over time, this can change, and we can find that we sometimes sit back and we think, okay, it's great. Everything is sorted. Everything's covered. Heck, I even found myself sometimes doing it, and I work here. You know, you can start, and I found myself doing this. You look around and you think, oh, we've got some teams working well. We've got some, maybe I just need to tweak this and that, and it'll all work just that little bit better. And I found you can quite easily get comfortable. You sit in the same seat, speak to the same friends, and just sit back. Now, kids, I have another question. I'm going to need your help. Does anyone know, and maybe you just want to shout out some numbers, how long God's people were in the desert for? Any numbers? Piper, can you shout out? That's a big number. I don't know if I could repeat that. Yeah, any other guesses? Any other guesses? Six? We've got six. Any other guesses? What have we got? 200? Any other guesses for numbers? 30? Oh, we have it right. 40! That is it. 40 years. 40 years. God's people were wandering through the desert for 40 years. Now, I'd hate to make an outrageous assumption here, but I think there may be some people over 40 in this room. If you can think back to 40 years ago, it might be quite a long time ago. Going to be honest, I wasn't born 40 years ago. But they had been waiting. God's people had been waiting a long time. And this last season at St. Leonard's, while it hasn't quite been 40 years, it does feel like we might have been waiting for a long time to see God move. Helen spoke last week about some amazing stories that we've started to hear about God moving across this nation. And it's been labeled as the Quiet Revival. And this is referring to a dramatic increase in church attendance by Gen Z. A report that I saw said that in 2018, just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they attended church. Last year, in 2024, that has had an increase, a rise to 16%. That is a massive shift. That is a shift that begins to move the needle. God is on the move. And the question is, are you ready? Can we say this together? God is on the move. Are you ready? Maybe turn to the person next to you. Say, are you ready? Are you ready? We've got some yeses down here. That's good. With the rise of AI and technology, it can feel like we're becoming increasingly isolated and increasingly self-sufficient. Now, don't hear me wrong. AI technology, it has its place and it does some wonderful and amazing things. It is capable of many things. It's helped me in areas of my life, but it can never replace human connection. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that can never be replaced by technology. We need each other. Let's say this together. We need each other. Let's go again. 3, 2, 1. We need each other. When Jesus sends us out, when he sends his disciples out, he never sends us out alone. This is really important. Luke 10, Jesus sends his disciples out 2 by 2. John 17, he prays for us to be one. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is given to all of his disciples together. And we see this in Joshua. The whole community moves together. They had to move. They couldn't stay where they are. They had to move to get to the other side. God had brought them this far. He wasn't going to leave them, and he was going to take them to the next place. And in this sort of season as we're heading into next, as we move forward together, we go together. Okay, so when I say we go, I want everyone to say together. Okay, we got that? Yeah, we got that? We go.
Yeah.
We go.
Yeah.
One more. We go.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on. We're going together. And that includes the newest, smallest child that's been born recently to the most experienced in years. That's almost a span of 100 years. We go together as God's people into, as it says, verse 4, a place we've never been before. Are you ready? Because we're going. And we go.
Yeah.
Come on. But we don't go together alone. Verse 7, God says to Joshua, I am with you. He gives Joshua instructions to pass on to the people as he sends them to the place that they've never been. He says, I am with you. You see, God's people, they're waiting on the edge of the river. They're ready to go, but it's their reliance on God that gets them to the other side. The river had an extreme current, is what it says in verse 15 later in the passage. It says the Jordan was at flood stage. This isn't some nice country stream. This is a powerful torrent of water. But what happens is, as the priests carry the ark into the water, it begins to stop, and it says that it almost dried up. The river stops flowing. Without God's power, they never would have been able to make it to the other side. The priests go first and they stand in the middle, and that is what enables everyone to cross. God's people were utterly dependent on God to get across. Okay, kids, I need another reader. Anyone up for reading? Yeah, who didn't read before? Is anyone a new reader? Yeah, do you want to come up? Yeah. Okay, so it's going to come up on the screen. Can you just read on the screen down here? Can you read that? Okay, Psalm 127.
Unless the Lord builds the house, the workers labor in vain.
Perfect. We have a round of applause. Thank you. This has been a really key verse for us as a team when we're coming here at 7:30. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't particularly like or want to labor in vain. Maybe you do. Anyone here want to labor in vain? No, thank you. No one does. Unless the Lord builds his house, the workers labor in vain. It's all down to him. We are dependent on God. So when I say we are dependent on, I want everyone to say God. Okay? We got that? We're going to do this. Okay. We are dependent on.
God.
We are dependent on.
God.
Okay, come on. So what we're going to do, we're now going to combine the two that we've learned earlier. See what we're doing here? We're going to refer back to what we've said before, and we're going to combine them. It's going to be great. So we go dependent on. We can do better than this. I know we can do better. Come on. We go. Dependent on. That's better. Come on. We move together into all that God has planned for us as a church. We cannot miss this central point, that it's from this place of dependency on God. That's really when we begin to see transformation around us, in our communities, in our friendships. And this past season, as I've said, has moved us from this place of self-reliance to dependency on Him. And this really leads us on to an important part of Joshua. As God's people, they could have been very afraid. I don't know, maybe there's something you're afraid of this morning. Maybe you can think of situations you've been afraid of. They could have been afraid, but they did have a choice. The water could have stopped flowing, and they could have said, you know what? I quite like it this side of the river. I don't really think I need to cross. I quite like this wilderness that we've been on. All this sand is starting to grow on me. This rock over here is quite comfortable now to sit on. They may not have felt that they needed to cross. I'd rather stay here. And this morning we have a similar choice, minus maybe sitting on a rock. Do you want to stay where you are, or do you want to cross the river together, depending on God? We have that choice. Do we want to stay where we are, or do we want to cross together? To be a beacon of light in the community and a place of freedom is going to require all of us playing our part. And this applies to all ages across the church. Kids, that requires you. Adults, that requires you. On staff, there's three staff team and two clergy. And there's no way that the five of us could do all that we feel God is calling us to do as a church. And frankly, I don't think God wants that either. The Bible talks about all of us being body parts. We are the family of God. We are all different parts, and we all have different parts to play. Jesus doesn't want us to bring someone else's gifts or someone else's talents. He asks us to bring and offer what we have. He cares far more about the heart behind what we offer than the amount. There's a remarkable story in the Gospels where Jesus is sitting with his disciples. And they're sitting outside the temple, and all of these wealthy people are bringing different large amounts of money. And then this widow comes, and she offers two small coins. How many coins? How many? Two small coins. And Jesus says that she's given more than anyone else because she gave out of her poverty rather than her wealth. And Jesus points them towards his value for the heart and sacrifice behind the gift, not the size of it. And there's another story where there's thousands of people that have come to listen to hear Jesus speak. And they begin to get hungry. I think Jesus has been teaching for a little while. They begin to get hungry. And Jesus says to the disciples, go feed them. Go find a way to feed them. And they're trying to find all these different solutions. They can't really find one. And this boy comes with his packed lunch of five loaves. How many loaves?
Five.
How many?
Five.
And two fish. How many fish?
Two.
How many fish?
Two.
How many loaves?
Five.
How many fish?
Two.
How many loaves?
Five.
How many loaves?
Five.
Ah, almost got you, did well. And he brings and offers it to Jesus. And there is no way that five loaves and two fish could have fed thousands of people. But Jesus gives thanks, and he multiplies it beyond belief. Jesus cares far more about the heart behind what we offer than the amount. And there's multiple ways we're already moving forward with Alpha, Little Lions, Community Cafe. And we're looking at different ways that God might be calling us to step into this community around us. And this Christmas, we're going into one of the local care homes to sing some Christmas carols and to share the message of Jesus. And we're wanting to continue our relationship with King's School as well, wanting to grow our relationship with local charities like Off the Fence and so many more. But this requires all of us together to pull in the same direction. So let's see if we can remember what we've been repeating. Okay, we go dependent on. We go dependent on. Come on. Okay, and that is dependency in all area of our lives. Now, Helen and I sat down and we chatted with kind of some of the finance team to look at where we're at and where we're going with the finances of the church, to forecast some of the projected costs, to see some of the upcoming ministries, what that costs and will look like, and where we're at with our current budgeting. And the reality is, a lot of the things that God is calling us to, and we feel like God is calling us to, requires money. To put on the best alpha we possibly can to help people meet with Jesus and to help them explore what Christianity is costs money. A lot of the community events that we're going to be running cost money. To be able to reach into these different communities a lot of the time requires money. It requires us to collectively give what we feel God has put on our hearts to give, to pull in the same direction. The financial giving already from within the church has enabled so much of what has happened. When we previously ran Youth Cafe, that was financed by people's giving. Little Lions is financed by people's giving, plus some contributions when people come in. We ran a community meal last year, partnering with Off the Fence. There was almost 100 people in this room, and it was specifically there to feed those that maybe wouldn't have a Christmas meal that year. That was financed by people's generous giving. We currently have a growing number of people signing on to Alpha, which is incredible, but it presents us with a wonderful problem that we have more people signing on to Alpha than we have budgeted for. And I sat down and looked at how much it might cost for one person to do Alpha for a term, including food, all the other costs involved, the resources and all the things that make Alpha possible to be able to run it as best we can. And for one person to do Alpha, it roughly costs between sort of £50 to £60. Let's call it 55. Today, would you consider paying for someone to do Alpha for a term? Would you consider paying for two people to do Alpha? 5, 10? As we've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks, we strongly feel that God is calling us to invest in and support the next generation. So some of the money raised today will be going towards our kids and young people, some of the ministries here, but also then seeing how we can push out and serve into the community around us outside of the church. Here are some of the things we want to raise money for to support the next generation. We've got Youth Cafe. We'd love to start that up again, but that will require some funding. We'd love to run Youth Alpha again at the church, offering every single young person across the city the opportunity to learn more about Jesus. And we'd also love to, we are running Bright Party. We'd love to run it, and we are running it. And Bright Party is transforming this space here into a non-scary Halloween alternative to bless the community. Would you consider paying for someone to do Youth Alpha, for a young person to do it? Or Community Cafe, or Bright Party. This year again, we'd love to work with Off the Fence, putting on a community meal for those that are most isolated and vulnerable in our city. We also want to have a posture of giving. A few weeks ago, Chris and Debbie Jarvis from Kids Club came and shared about their vision for kids and youth across the city. Some of the money today raised and over these kind of next week or so will go to supporting some of the incredible work that those guys are doing across the city, as we want to have that posture beyond ourselves as a church. So I'm sure the big question on a lot of your minds is, Sam, this sounds great, but how much is it going to cost? And there's two ways, really, that we're looking to move forward financially. The first is by increasing our monthly financial giving. So lots of people give by standing order each month. And that really helps us to forecast, budget, and predict some of what's coming up. So that's the first one, increasing monthly standing orders. And the second is a total of one-off gifts. So today and over the next couple of weeks, as a church, we are looking to increase our monthly giving by £2,000 and looking to raise £25,000 in one-off donations. Now, these may seem like big numbers, but we worship and serve an even bigger God. To practically break this down slightly, to hit the monthly increase, if everyone increased their monthly giving by £25, this would be possible to achieve. Maybe you don't already give to St. Leonard's. Would you consider starting by giving £25 a month if you consider this is your home church? And for some people, this will be way too much, and that is absolutely fine. Some people, this won't be enough. All we ask is that you pray about it, and Jesus only asks you to bring what you have. So would you pray with me, as I'm sure you already have been, about what God might be stirring you to give? And then we're going to give some space to fill these in together. And as a response to say we go together, dependent on God, there's going to be a river. We've got some fabric, and some helpers are going to put this river out for me, just as they did as we read in Joshua. We're going to physically step over the river together and place our envelopes that we're going to fill out in this basket. It's going to be at the front as they put the river out. So I'm going to pray for us. And yeah, as you step over it, would you just pray, Lord, I'm in with what you're doing. I trust you. Would you use and multiply this gift in mighty ways? So I'm going to pray, and then the band are going to lead us, and then we'll fill these out together. So maybe you just want to take a moment, close your eyes. Maybe there's a particular number that you just feel the Lord's put on your heart. Maybe you just really want to pay for someone to do Alpha this term. Maybe you actually feel that you can't increase, and that is absolutely fine. Lord, we thank you for how you lead us, for your love for us, that we can be completely dependent on you. We give you all the glory. And as we look to financially give now, we pray that you would use these gifts beyond what we ever imagined possible. And so we pray this in your name.